In association with Newsarama, welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. Before we start with part two of our conversation with Brian Michael Bendis, I wanted to make a quick show note. Coming Saturday, October 25th, in Chicago, Word Balloon, in association with Around Comics, presents the Windy City Comic Con. I put myself up first, but really, I got to be fair. The guys from Around Comics are doing a lot of the organizing on this. A one-day comic convention in the heart of Chicago. It'll be in Wrigleyville from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Saturday, October 25th. And I just want to give you the guest lineup that we've got so far. Guys like Gene Ha, Mike Norton, Don Kramer, Will Pfeiffer, Scotty Young, Jeffrey Brown, to name a few. In addition, Hilary Barda, Chris Burnham. The list continues as we get more approvals from the guests, but it's going to be a great one-day show from 10 in the morning until 6, right in the heart of Chicago's Wrigleyville, and you'll want to join us. For more information, WindyCityComicCon.com is the URL, and it's going to be great. Just $5 to get in, kids, and it's going to be a nice little convention that's being set up in Chicago next month, October 25th. But now, let's go back to the conversation. It's part two of our back-to-school edition of the Bendis Tapes, as Brian Michael Bendis pours through more questions from his Jinx World message board about his litany of books, Secret Invasion, the two Avenger books, Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Origins, and beyond, plus some writer's tips as well in the conversation. So it's 4 days later, and we start with part two now of the Bendis Tapes. All right, STL 110, or STO 110, from Perkyo Menville. What the hell is that?
If you don't know. I'm wondering if people can tell we're a week older on this question.
Yes, we're past the controversy.
Okay.
We made it through the rain.
Yes.
All right. If you worked at DC tomorrow, not that I want you to, what
book... Fuck those guys!
What book would you want to write, and what direction would you want to take it in? Any details you have off the top of your head would be interesting.
Well, I had said in the past, doing a Plastic Man with Alex Maleev, and I see they've stolen my idea, and everyone's doing Plastic Man seriously, so God bless them. So I think, you know what, I certainly understood Bagley's need to do the icons, you know what I mean?
He's doing a great job on Trinity.
Yeah.
It really is gorgeous.
And I think I would need to try Superman.
Interesting.
Because Batman, I think I could do. It's a detective story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting.
In my wheelhouse, but I like to do the one that's not in my wheelhouse and try to figure out. Like even when they announced today, Warner Brothers announced their darker, eviler Superman or whatever they said, which just smelled of a studio guy talking out of his ass without having any idea what he was talking about. And of course, it was the same guy who hired Bryan Singer, stole him off of X-Men. Overpaid him, you know what I mean? And now they're throwing him under the bus like it's his fault. So I do think that there is a way, though, but I think there is a way to connect the mythology of Superman to modern life, to our society.
Okay.
And I would like to attempt that. That does sound interesting.
Very good.
Not interesting enough.
To make you leave tomorrow.
Exactly.
All right. Jim T. All right, ready for some word association.
And let me just say, I'm not saying that other people who write Superman aren't doing that now.
Oh,
I'm
please.
My personal take.
Oh, I understand.
On the mythology.
Well, if you got a problem with the way Jeff's been writing Superman right now, that's your problem.
Exactly what I'm saying, and it's not a criticism. Because sometimes a good friend of mine often, frequently, in public and in private, announces to the world that he could fix Superman in 2 seconds if he was allowed to, and everyone goes, what's wrong with that? And he goes, everything. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I would be interested in... I think what I really would do is really Jew him up. I think he's not Jewy enough. I think go back to his Jewish roots.
Hello, Clark. Good to see you.
Yiddish.
How's the mishpucha?
Yes, little gefilte fish and the connected design.
Off topic.
Really, it's the only thing that explains Lois Lane. Other than her being a Shiksa and the thrill of that, I don't see the appeal.
The attraction.
I don't get it.
All right, Jim T.
Betty Brandt, you know, like, will do it in the butt if you get enough liquor in her. But
which, if I may, that's my one complaint about One More Day, that, like, now they're just, like, friends and she's his older friend. And it's like, wait a minute, didn't they date? Didn't Betty and Peter date?
I See, I'm behind, so I don't even know what they're
well,
doing.
Well, it sounds like, and this is...
So she stayed the same and Peter got younger?
Yeah, it seems like it, and that, yeah, that now the former relationship would not be appropriate because she's an older working girl. And, you know, I have no problem with
that. I wouldn't sound much older. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, that's what I say, and also, secondly, like, can't she just be one of those rare few that does go to the workforce as opposed to college and succeeds? And
yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's why I'm like, you don't have to make her that much older, and
that's,
I like
that.
No, like
Zeb Wells to me. I'm going to kick his ass.
I was going to say, here, next summit, go and ring some bells, man. Okay, Jim T. First thing that comes to your mind for these words. Powers.
Awesome.
Avengers.
Awesome.
Superman.
Not Jewy enough.
Thing.
Purple. Orange rocky phallic thing.
Okay, elongated man.
His wife's in the refrigerator. Isn't that the one in the refrigerator?
No, she, Dr. Light raped her and then burned her.
Jim
Lurie burned her.
Yeah.
Okay.
That for her, not the story.
Puma.
No.
Oa.
See, they are just Jewy enough, those guys.
The Guardians.
They seem very Jewy to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like all kind of Larry David hair they all have.
Yeah. Thanagar.
What? No, I have no thoughts on the Hawkman mythology.
Interesting. Perez.
Awesome, top to bottom. Look through that new book today. Guy hasn't missed a beat.
Yes,
I love the guys that grow with it, man. He draws everything like it's his last book. It's fantastic.
Electro.
Electro is awesome. I love Electro.
Thanos. Oh, I'm sorry.
Pulls off the lightning bolt mask.
Sure.
Not easy to pull off. How does it stand up?
Thanos?
What's it made out of? Is it cardboard?
Maybe it's static electricity that keeps it up.
Ah, look at you.
Huh? Thanos?
Squally chin.
True. Elektra?
Dead.
And Greek. Kefki? I was pretty surprised that Hank Pym turned out to be a Skrull after all the work you and Slott had done with the character. Not to mention his involvement...
Well, more me than Slott, really.
Not to mention his involvement with Civil War. Does that mean that everything he's done in these recent stories was meant to be out of character? Or I guess what I'm asking is the real Hank Pym a furry?
A furry? Well, you actually will find out this week. I'm going to pull up the if you would like to find out the answer to a couple of those questions, I say by Mighty Avengers until this week.
Excellent.
Hank Pym issue, and there's a preview online if you want to see it.
And will we see, like, specific points? And I know we have already with certain characters.
Yep.
But
Hydra is in the issue.
Okay. Well, just not only Hank Pym, but also these other people that have turned into Skrulls, I'm saying.
I think as we get closer and closer, and then we're at the halfway mark, but as we get closer and closer, I think people are seeing that everything is being revealed, not in order, but all the, as I promised, on this very podcast, all the cards will be turned over. You're not going to walk away going, well, what about, and how did that? It is like, this is the way he did, this is when, and I think we've just found more creative ways of showing it instead of just someone looking at you and telling you.
Sure.
We're, you know, dramatizing every aspect of every character. I think it's much more interesting that way.
Cool.
But everything will be revealed, my friend. And two big, like even this week, there's gigantic tie-in issues coming out of me. Both the Mighty Avengers is a big Hank Pym thing that really just plays him and connects a couple of dots, some more subtly than others. And the other bit of business in New Avengers, Billy Tan's excellent art on the Illuminati and how the effects of the Illuminati, and this would be back in Illuminati number one, how that connects to what's happened. So there you go.
Alrighty. Are there plans for him post-Secret Invasion, or has he just been in the spotlight so much recently because he was supposed to be a Skrull all along? Hank Pym.
See, that's him asking, are we gonna see the... See, that's a trick question.
I'm not
answering it.
All right.
Then, I say, you will see Hank Pym after they go, aha, they're all alive.
Then he, yeah, exactly.
I say, he's dead. Oh, they're all dead. I know what's going on. You can't fool me. I've had the internet since like the late 90s.
Wow.
I'm on to you, motherfucker.
Were you a CompuServe man?
I was not. I came in just at the end of CompuServe.
No, I did too. Ben Simpson. Favorite movies?
From the sound of it looks like we all dodged an Ugly Bullet.
Yes, I think
Ben
so.
Simpson.
Yes, I think so.
I love Ben Simpson.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Low-ranking executive of DreamWorks. I love him very much. One day, he will be in a position to greenlit the direct-to-video Tropic Thunder 2.
Excellent. I hope he hires us all.
And he will do so.
And with that in mind, favorite movies of this summer?
I just did see Tropic Thunder, and I did enjoy the shit out of it. I loved
it. Oh, good.
I was fascinated how different it was from the script that I read last year. So it was a lot was done on set, which was interesting as well. It's funny. Kung Fu Panda was a big surprise. I know people who haven't seen it kind of laugh at you when you say this. It was actually like the best Kung Fu movie I've seen in a long time.
Cool.
So, but it's a parody of one. But like all good parodies, it actually has to be an excellent version of that.
Sure.
Like when you're parodying, like in Tropic Thunder, is parodying an action movie, but it's actually a good action movie too. So.
Or Blazing Saddles, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Blazing Saddles, excellent western, you know.
Yeah.
So that said, I'd say Kung Fu Panda, Iron Man, obviously.
Okay.
I did enjoy The Hulk. I did enjoy Dark Knight. It's been a very good summer.
How about Indy 4?
I liked Indy 4, and
so did
I knew I know about three people canceled their memberships to the board when I announced that every time, but I did enjoy it, and so fuck you.
Did you see Hellboy 2?
Hellboy 2, I liked. I didn't love.
Yeah,
the she's got a baby and she can't tell him. It was the same plot as Shrek 3. And which is the same plot as like 14 Lucy Ball movies from the 50s. So it was a little, you know, there's some visually stunning stuff in this movie, just really, really amazing. But they had two sins against it that I didn't like. One was the I can't tell you I have a baby in my tummy, which anyone who's ever been in any relationship ever finds that to be a false note.
Okay.
And the other bit of business was. And I know this is really nitpicky. I'm not a fan, personally, of the villain standing over the hero and going, they hate you. They're just like, you should join me and we'll rule the world, you know. And then Hellboy can't get over the fact that this guy just launched a giant, like, asparagus monster on the city enough to do anything about it. He's just going to be paralyzed with emotion, you know. So not my... But other than that, there was some great stuff in there.
Yep.
And really, they couldn't get David Hyde Pierce to do the voice again?
Well, no, actually, that's a good story, because he, from the start, was like, what's wrong with Doug Jones? And they're like, well, you're a bigger name. And I think in the film press junkets, he would say, I appreciate all the nice things you're saying about my acting, but really, that's Doug Jones. This is his character. He should be allowed to play Abe Sapien. And then they let Doug do the voice for the two cartoons and finally did let him do the film. And I think that's a nice story for Doug Jones.
That's better.
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
So actually, yeah, David Hyde Pierce is a classic guy.
How did that bit of nerdy trivia escape me?
I read
Empire Magazine, Total Film. I'm on Film Threat. How the fuck did I not know that?
I don't know, but yeah, that's the story, dude. Honestly.
Anyway, every single second of the production diary of Dark Knight, I don't know this. And Baby Mama made me laugh, even though I
really?
It's not for everybody.
Okay.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it because it just looked kind of...
No, if you're not interested in it, it will not make you laugh.
But I like Tina Fey on 30 Rock, so, you know.
No, Tina Fey's very good. It's Amy Poehler's movie. She's laugh-out-loud funny more times than not. And... you get another. There's this character that Sigourney Weaver plays in her older years.
Okay.
She played. You ever see the movie The TV Set?
Yes. Yeah. The
okay.
company's
it's
film.
That
yes.
character. This is that.
Oh, that's
plays
cool.
That's her new character that she plays.
Yes.
So she's playing that character as
okay.
as the surrogate, the owner of the surrogate baby place that she
uh-huh.
goes to. So it was just nice to see Tina Fey in that character, and Amy Poehler, you know.
Yeah.
So, and Steve Martin is hilarious. And do you know Steve Martin's in it?
No, I didn't know it's Steve Martin.
See, now you're going to want to see it. Steve
kind
Martin's
of, yeah,
in it
no, I do kind of.
As like
it.
The owner of Whole Foods, which is where Tina Fey works. And he's fucking hilarious.
Okay, I can see that.
And in like weird stuff. So yeah, so it's been a very good summer. Really,
excellent.
Really has.
All right.
Where the mainstream movies aren't annoying.
Conversely, what's the worst television you watched over the summer, if any? Bonus points.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, between my obsessive compulsive disorder with the Howard Stern show and just, you know, you just being able to watch whatever you want when you want to watch it.
Sure.
Sometimes weeks went by where I didn't have the TV on.
Wow.
Plus, I was like, I traveled overseas and I was
right.
in Florida and just really you go, I got my Sirius. I didn't need to. You kind of lose the habit of turning on the TV.
Oh, good for you.
But it's on right now while we're talking. So.
Oh. What are you watching?
Die Hard 4.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Let's see. If you ever see Evan Handler in person, what's the over-under on you punching him out of spite now?
I got to say, Ben Simpson, there's a much better chance of him taking a swing at me before I even figure out he's in the room. So, and that's because of Ben and the L.A. Bendis board guys going to his book signing and taking pictures with Powers.
Ah. Oh, yes, I saw that. All right, I didn't realize this was the guy from
this man who
Lost and It's Like You Know and Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Your Hollywood doppelganger.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
The goddamn Shrikes.
Go know, I'll thank him, that guy, because he did some weird S&M in Californication, and you know, and then I still, that's what I would look like if I was in S&M. I'm like, okay, so if I was on the fence about getting an S&M, now I know, don't do that.
And he was great as Larry Fine in the Mel Gibson-produced Three Stooges TV movie. Come on.
I didn't know that was him. That's funny.
Right, Mo.
You were funny. I did know that Chiklis was Curly.
Yes.
I did know that, but I didn't remember that.
And Jose Quesada from Daredevil is Mo.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you really did top me there. I mean, I got nowhere to go.
Oh, well, you know. God, man, really, what the hell? Wow. The goddamn Schweitz says, hello, good sirs. I was wondering, what is your favorite thing you've written recently? What your favorite thing you've written recently was, or surprised you by how good it came out?
Well, obviously my year was consumed with Secret Invasion. So you know, there's a lot of X Factor involved, especially with the tie-ins and other things that I kind of don't take control of because it's not my place to take control of it.
Right.
And there's a level in which it kind of takes on a life of its own. Yeah, you put out an idea and then people do things with it and either but that aspect of it, I know it's not what I wrote, but I did write the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it tested a lot of people to be because Joe's reaction to it was just, he absolutely would not allow anyone to do the lazy version
right.
of the story. And so to watch people come up with a creative solution to their job, that was a big, big deal. Big, big deal. So yeah, to me, I think just the overall experience of Secret Invasion, how it's coming out, and I'm at the tail end with you about how it's coming out and how everything connected to it, particularly my times and everything. I think I'll be relieved and not only proud of myself because that's very self-serving, but I guess I'm proud of everyone around me.
Okay.
Like I think it's the best editing job Tom's done since I've known him. I know he's edited great things way before, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I see that we benefited greatly from House of M and Civil War and the fact that whatever tiny mistakes here and there that were made were avoided. You know?
Yes, I do. I agree.
I've had a good feeling all summer. So I think, you know.
No, honestly, I think the execution of Secret Invasion is a marked difference and improvement from House of N. And that's,
I think it's going to be a long time before I type the word Skrull again.
That's fair. What about The Opposite?
I've now typed that word more than I've typed my name in the entirety of my life.
What about The Opposite? Anything you look back on and think, man, if I only had one more draft of that, it really could have been something.
Well, that's about everything, including the things I just praised myself for.
Okay.
So, but I tend not to focus on that.
Sure.
I had an art teacher. The only damn thing I learned in art school, I think I may have said this on the podcast before, the only damn thing I learned in art school that worth a damn was the teacher said, it's not ever done. It's just finished. You know, you can work on a piece of artwork for the rest of your life, and it never could be finished. So you just have to say, okay, this is done now, and make another one.
Sure.
So and that was a good lesson.
Michael Blacklist, thanks again for taking the time to do this. The Bendis tapes are always great fun, and this long drought has been unbearable. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Is he aware that there's other forms of entertainment?
Then Word Balloon? Are you kidding me? Then okay. Yeah, the Bendis tapes? Come on, man. We're golden. Two questions. Years ago in San Diego, I asked you how to format your scripts, how you format your scripts when writing a comic. You said then that there's no set format that you use, and it could change from project to project. That being said, is the leeway that you use to form comic scripting hindering or helping you as you make the transition to television and film? Have you ever run into anyone inside or outside the comics industry who you've told that's not how it's done in regard to your scripts?
Well, you do have to. You do have to. There's a different mindset because it's funny. Like if you write a script for a movie or a TV show out of format, they assume you don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
You could write Citizen Kane, and if it's not in a format suitable for filming, they assume that there's something wrong with you.
Okay.
And most people won't even read it. Like, if they open it up and see, this is formatted incorrectly, it goes right in the garbage. So, no, you just learn the format. You know what I mean? You just learn it and do it. My genuine script format for comics isn't that far off from a movie script, other than that I get to direct in the script. And you can't do that in TV and film scripts, which in a sense is much easier. All you have to write is what's happening and who's saying what. You don't have to write any subtext. You don't have to direct anything. You know, no low looking up, bird's eye view, worm's eye view, two shot, three shot. You can, none of that.
Right.
In fact, it's inappropriate. So I just.
So outside of setting and dialogue, is that pretty much it for TV and film?
Well, you know what, you get away. You can do a lot of subtext in writing and comics. You can tell, like, I'll tell someone, like, Alex, Tony Stark is saying this, but he's thinking this. And it'll get across on the face. There's absolutely zero call for that in screenwriting.
Right, I understand that.
Comes the big mocker screenwriter who said one whole thing produced.
Thanks. Okay. Were there books that you point to that you can point to for TV and film?
There are, Story by Robert McKee, and
sure.
I guess some people read Sid Fields, and I actually read Script Magazine, which I like.
Okay.
When I'm in the mood. I also get a magazine called Written By, because I'm in the Writers Guild. It's actually pretty damn good. That's all, I'd say, more advanced stuff. The best way to learn how to write a script is to read a script.
Okay.
And I've read hundreds. And hundreds.
And they're pretty easy to find on the internet, aren't they?
They are easy to find on the internet. They're easy to buy at your bookstores. You can get them anywhere.
That's true.
But there's zero reason. And every screenwriter I know, when referencing certain things or blah, 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 will send you a script and say, hey, read this. This is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
In fact, it's funny. About three people in my life have sent me their screenplay to Deep Impact.
Okay.
And I go, really? And they go, I know the movie they should call it Pregnant Pause. That should be the name of the movie.
Yeah.
But read the script. And it's a script by Michael Tolkien, and it's fantastic.
Okay.
I always read anything I hear, like Spielberg has signed on to do, or Scorsese, or the Coen brothers have a new one on. I have a manager grab it for me, and I read it.
That's cool.
Because I get very fascinated about the level of craft of, like, a David Koepp or a Jeff Nathanson. These guys that, like, rise up to the fact where Spielberg goes, oh, I want to see what a script looks like. Where Scorsese goes, okay, I want to do the Howard Hughes movie. I want to read what that reads like.
Sure.
Like, how good is that? And it really, the one thing I've taken from them, and one thing I've talked about here in the past, is that they're a lot of fun to read. They're not laborious at all. They zip along.
Mm-hmm.
They're page turners.
Yes.
And War of the Worlds is like that. Well, what a zippy script it is, right?
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really, and there's not a lot of dialogue, but you really get into it. And Tarantino, for all his Michigas, also writes very entertaining scripts. That's why everyone grabs them in the industry. They can't wait to read them because they're just fun,
That's cool.
And he breaks format all over the place. Don't use him as your example. But, yeah, so I read them, and I realize that, you know what, and I try to write comic scripts that are fun for my editors to read, and the artist to read. Like, if it's laborious to read or consume or figure out, I think that somehow works on the art. I think the art will be laborious or boring. You know what I mean?
Sure. Have you read many? I've never read any Alan Moore scripts. I've read about them.
Oh, no, I've read
them.
A lot of Alan Moore scripts. But they're not boring. It's funny, they're a challenge, you know, and Warren Ellis' scripts are fascinating to me.
Okay.
I read tons of Mark Millar scripts, and everyone's got a different tone and taste and things that they're comfortable with doing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
But I think writing something that's not dumb, but easy to read, something that's a pleasure to read, I should say. Something like, wow, well, that was, thank you for letting me read that. I really enjoyed it. In fact, just this week, if I can pat myself on the back, because my Ultimate Spider-Man annual delves into the uncharted sex territory of Peter Parker, it went up the ladder to Joe and Dan and some other people, just, you know, because I Ralph is right into making sure that no one's going to flip out when they, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It is what I promised I said I would do, but it is in that weird area, you know?
Sure.
So, and the notes back were, you know, like Joe hadn't read a script by me in a while. He enjoyed it. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Like, that's what you want. You want someone to go, I really enjoyed that. Thanks.
Sure.
Not, oh, another goddamn thing I have to read.
So. His second point, which is a different topic.
And by the way, for those of you who think that Joe says nice things to me, that was it for the year. That was the first nice thing you said since January. So.
Oh, that's good.
No, I'm joking. But it's not like an ass-kissy fest. I go, you're great. Are you great?
No, I understand. He also asks, I thought the Marvel DC panel that you and Jeff Johns ran at Wizard World was a wonderfully positive gesture and seems to have bled over through the remainder of the con season. Especially,
it did seem to do that, which was very nice. That, you know, that's more than I obviously could have hoped for.
Especially with John scolding folks at a DC panel in San Diego for booing Marvel.
Was wrong.
How do you feel then about Robert Downey Jr. recently commenting, jokey as it may seem, fuck DC comments? Do you think the negative side of the Marvel-DC rivalry hitting the movie side of the industry is good, bad, or inconsequential?
I think a very talented actor with a very good movie that the rated R hard sell at the end of the summer, that really should have been released in mid-October, because it's actually about the Oscars and everything. They should have released it in a more timely fashion, but they've somehow decided it was a summer movie.
Which film?
Tropic Thunder.
Oh, okay.
He was out there selling a movie.
Right.
And he said something goofy.
Okay.
It was you know, easily in Mark Millar territory. I don't think it was serious at all.
Probably not.
I read the whole thing. I didn't think it was serious at all.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Billy Parker.
And I also thought, wow, he must got his Iron Man 2 contract this week. Look at that. Somebody got paid.
Billy Parker, Brian, you're my favorite writer.
You got to remember, he's been in film 30 years.
Downey Jr. Not 30, yeah. but 20.
No,
certainly.
Yeah, well, early 80s.
25. Yeah, 25
right?
years. Yeah, 25.
25 years. He got his first sequel though this week.
That's it. Well, you know, yeah, but
Biff from Back to the Future got so much money for Back to the Future 2 and 3, he never had to work again.
Yeah, but Chaplin 2. Pickup Artist 2?
Chaplin 2 didn't happen.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Air America 2? No.
Pickup Artist 2? Exactly.
Pickup Artist 2.
No, back to...
The threesome movie could have gotten a sequel.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, here.
Two guys and a girl could have got a sequel.
That's a good point. No, I remember that film. Nice. Okay, Billy Parker. Brian, you're my favorite writer. I love all your books.
Aw, you're my favorite poster.
Here's 7 questions from him. 1, Daredevil is a tortured character who's been through a lot of tragic events. Subsections. A, have you ever been through a traumatic event that helps you relate to and write for Daredevil that you can share? And B, if not, how do you get into the head of a character like Daredevil when writing him?
Well, that is very, well, what the one thing that I thought really happened to me, and I don't talk about it a lot, but in my childhood, I saved an old man from getting hit by a truck, and I was hit by the truck, and I was blinded across the eyes by a radioactive isotope.
Yeah.
That turned me blind and heightened my remaining senses into what some people call a radar. I won't get too technical, but they call it a radar.
Okay.
And I thought that, in general, plus my law degree, I thought made me a good choice to write Daredevil.
Nice.
Other than that, it's, you know, it's a lot of me just feeling it out. Nothing. Okay.
Let's see. So you don't want to say what if...
No, you know what?
How you get in the head of Daredevil?
It's funny. There's not... there's just certain characters you have an affinity for and feel a real close voice to, and it's not necessarily characters that particularly sound or talk like you, but things that you recognize as true and something, or something you really want to spend a lot of time analyzing about yourself, and Matt Murdock was one of them. So though I was raised by a single parent, who, you know, my mother was murdered by the mob when she wouldn't throw a fight. That's another story. I'll keep going. I won't stop.
Nice. Larry David is my favorite comedian. Do you like him? I know this answer. Why do you like him? Who would your top comedians be and why?
Let's see. How would I answer this? Let's see. Well, I do like Larry David's writing. He's not my favorite comedian. His act is actually a little bizarre. So I would say my favorite comedians really are Patton Oswalt, obviously. Modern day Patton Oswalt, Todd Barry. Then you rewind and you go to Richard Pryor, Bill Hicks, David Cross. I'm going to the wall.
That a boy.
Look at my Richard Pryor box set. I love my Richard Pryor box set.
Are those CDs or are they videos?
Yeah, CDs.
Okay.
They're awesome.
Those are classic albums, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the DVDs, for that matter, the concert films.
I'm a big Todd Barry fan, even though a lot of people don't get into him.
I don't think I've heard his stuff.
He's got like four albums out already.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard
his
stuff.
They must be selling. Every time I see a new one, I go, really? There's a new one? I don't know if I was the only person buying it.
So. That's like Bill Hicks. I was stunned at how many Bill Hicks performances have since made it to CD. I'm glad.
Yeah, no, some of them I had found in Australia before they were released here, and I was really like coveting them. Like, I really thought I had something special. You know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely. No, I feel fortunate to have seen them live then.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, no more? That was enough comedians?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Okay. He loved the new Incredible Hulk movie. What did you think?
I liked it. I did. I really, really liked it.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
And again, I told you, because my daughter had such an aesthetic reaction to it that it made my enjoyment of it that much more over the top.
Absolutely.
Like, she loved it. Absolutely loved it. And she somehow like made up in her head by how she thinks, because I won't show her the Ang Lee one. The Ang Lee one's very...
Oh, yeah.
It's not good for little kids.
No, absolutely not.
Murdering the mother and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
she made up this whole origin for the Hulk that I heard her overheard her telling a friend. It was hilarious.
You're not gonna share?
Well, something that happened to him as a baby, and then he went to the doctor as a baby, and the doctor did something wrong and put something green in him when she was supposed to put something pink in him. And I wrote it all down. I'm using it for somewhere.
Okay.
it wasn't too bad.
I loved Ultimate Origins. Well,
I told it to Loeb, and then he was really upset because it was basically the same thing.
That's Red Hulk. Yeah, way to go.
It's the same thing.
I love Ultimate Origins.
What?
I love Ultimate Origins.
Yes. Well, Ultimate Origins 4 is the best one of the series.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm very looking forward to that one coming out.
Will Ultimate Origins be used in the Avengers movie to tie the characters together?
I don't know.
Manga has some great comics, like Nana, etc. What are your thoughts on manga, and does it influence any of your work?
Some older manga absolutely had an influence, like Akira was a big, big influence on me. But, you know, it's funny, and I sound like an old fart, but there's so much of it that it's very hard to know. I really, and I feel this way about a lot of stuff. I don't have a lot of patience for shit.
Okay.
So I'm on the lookout. When anyone holds one up and says masterpiece, I'll read it. But there's so much of it, it's hard to wade through and decide what you like and
sure.
not like, you know.
So have you ever read...
It doesn't have a huge influence on me, but I'm not one of those American comic artists who are like poo-pooing a manga because... they can't figure out what to do.
Have you ever read the spy stuff for Gogol 13?
No, but I think I have some in the house.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I should check it out.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're Japanese James Bond.
You are such an 11-year-old girl.
I know. Hey, man, I got the Platts group to prove it. Absolutely. Thank you. Will the Spider-Man 3 DVD comic you did with Mark Bagley be released in actual comic form? I really liked it.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked it, too. It was fun. That's a good question. I should ask somebody.
Yeah,
I don't know what to do. I don't know. Someone paid the bill there that wasn't Marvel. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I think Sony paid the bill, so that there might not be.
They might have the rights
to it. There might be a time where it is releasable. And believe me, I'm sure they have no problem releasing it if they can, but I might bring it up.
Okay.
It was also drawn DVD size, so I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what it would look like.
Do you ever see yourself coming to a Texas Comic-Con? I will be your bodyguard for free to keep Kraze fans and Scott Hines at a distance.
Well, who am I going to hire to keep my bodyguard away from me?
Billy Parker.
I have been offered very frequently, particularly for Wizard World Texas. So it's not impossible. It's just been a crazy couple of years. So I plan on doing a lot of these shows when no one really is interested in me being there anymore.
Excellent.
That's my plan.
Event
here. Why would he go home?
Yeah, really, Bendis.
It's embarrassing. Now I remember years ago we were at the New York show, and there was a media star there, an actor from Willy Wonka, whose name I don't know, and I'm not sure what character he played, and no, it was not Gene Wilder.
Okay.
Showed up at the show, uninvited, not told to stay home, but no, wasn't on the list of guests.
Okay.
And set up a whole show, set up his whole table, pictures of himself. No one knew why he was there, and he then was asked to leave because he was actually sitting in the original Starbucks table.
Oh,
and watching him being removed from the show is maybe the most embarrassing thing I've seen. And I've been in comics quite a few years, man and boy. So I've seen some embarrassing things.
Oompa Loompa. Did the Oompa Loompas play?
Don't be that guy.
Yeah, no kidding. did the Oompa Loompas just show up and start singing a song as he's being ejected?
That's the only thing that could have saved it. You don't get to sit in Starbucks table. Yeah.
What do you get when you sit in a chair? Yikes, man. Dirk Benedict. Yeah, sir, I'm sorry. Mr. Benedict demands his space.
I'm literally sitting there at my table next to Mike with literally no idea how I'm getting home. Looking at this guy going, ooh.
Yee. And then he finishes by saying, Avengers is the greatest comic ever, thanks to you and Brian. Thanks to you, Brian. I had nothing to do with it. And then he thanks us for the podcast.
Thank you for all your hard work on Avengers.
Honestly, I know you couldn't have done it without me.
Disassemble.
Leaf Insect Man.
Thank you for that. I don't want to gloss over the compliment. Thank you. That was very nice.
Leaf Insect Man. Not dissing your... Now, here's the contrary. Not dissing your Avengers stuff or anything. However, if you have...
But...
Exactly.
But... I'm going to see how many... Well, he's got 123 posts, so...
Yeah.
Usually the butt questions are from one or two posters.
Yeah, absolutely. If you had to co-write the Avengers book for one reason or another, as opposed to writing yourself, who would you pick as your co-writer and why?
Stephen King.
Yeah, that's interesting. Has he ever expressed any interest in writing the Avengers?
I like to split those royalties.
Sure. Do you think it's a bad idea, or do you think bringing someone else in could be beneficial to the creative process? Oh, I see, whether it's the Avengers or your other books. Yeah, now that's an interesting question. Let's put it that way, way that you and Hickman will be doing Secret Warriors, or the way Fraction and Brubaker have been working together.
Well, there are two different things. I'm waist deep in Avengers all by myself, and to even bring on a co-writer at this point would be more work than actually just sitting and writing them, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
Whereas the other things that I've co-written, Torso or Illuminati or Nowhere in the Secret Invasion, these things, the co-writing aspect of it came along more organically.
I see. Even Ultimate Fantastic Four, back with you and
That was me and Mark were in a room, right. and we were just writing it together before we'd even decided to write it together.
Okay.
We're like, oh, what about this? And oh, what about that? And oh, what about this? And you know, and Bill Gemma started touching himself because he knew someone's writing it, and you know, so that and all those co-writing. People imagine co-writing as the two of you get in a room, you line up your computer so they're touching back to back, and you start typing and making each other laugh. And it's every collaboration is immensely different. Whereas what I'm trying to do in the Hickman situation is, I had a ton of ideas and I'm giving them to him and letting him go nuts and trying to stay out of his way, maybe even a little more than he'd want me to. And me and Brian really hashed out a lot of stuff together. When I would come to him with kind of the setup for the joke and ask for the punchline. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's how you get the Beyonder is an Inhuman. And everything's different. It's not that this is how you co-write a book. It's even weirder. And I know how Ed and Matt work, and I know how other people co-write. And if it doesn't happen organically because the two of you were just writing it together before you figured it out that you're writing it together, I think it's better to write up by yourself.
What's your favorite Secret Invasion tie-in? You've mentioned a couple.
I've said before, yeah.
Okay. If Marvel got the movie rights back to Wolverine...
Well, I wrote them. Sorry.
If Marvel got the movie rights back to Wolverine and Spider-Man, you want to crack at writing the new Avengers movie?
You think? But the one thing I would love Marvel to wrestle back is Daredevil. Boy, just like the Hulk got the reinterpretation.
Oh yeah.
I want to do a Dark Knight on Daredevil. Oh, like a big sweeping crime epic. Oh, that would be great.
That would be great.
That's what I would like to do.
Would you ever want to write a Marvel movie, or would you rather just be a consultant?
No, I would love to write a Marvel movie. Absolutely.
If Joe could call you,
the consulting thing is very flattering because it's a bridge unlocked. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's very cool that stuff's even happening.
Sure.
So absolutely. I would love to take a shot at something.
If Joe Q called you tomorrow and said he wants a Luke Cage ongoing, you got time to fit that in, or would you have to drop something? And if it's the second option, what would you drop?
You know what? I wouldn't drop. I think I do get to do my Luke Cage ongoing in the pages of New Avengers. In fact, I just wrote a very lengthy Luke Cage-centric issue that I enjoyed immensely. So I do get my Luke Cage fix. I don't think I would do it myself. I would, of course, make that writer who's writing it the life of living hell by not letting him do anything cool with the character. But, hey, that's only because I have neuroses.
Then he asked me...
I'm joking, I would not do that.
He asked me what my current favorite books are at the moment, and he wants to know your current favorite books as well.
Yeah, well, what are your favorite current books?
I am not kissing ass. I am enjoying both Avengers books and Secret Invasion. I think it's a great event. I'm really enjoying Final Crisis as well, and really loved the first volume or issue of Legion of Three Worlds. I'm really happy with everything that Johns is writing. Green Lantern's been great. The Superman books are great. James Robinson back on Superman. That's cool. And, of course, Scalped. Love that book. I mean, Jason Aaron just knocking it out every time.
And I like Jason Aaron's Wolverine.
I have not had a chance to read much of Jason's Marvel stuff, and I really owe it to myself to read both Ghost Rider and Wolverine. I hear nothing but great things. But more Marvel, let's see. I really, Brew and Fraction always have my attention. I love everything that Matt is writing and really love Criminal. And I'm even happy that what Dwayne is doing on Iron Fist. So.
I agree. I said my favorite mainstream comic of the moment is Mark's Old Man Logan.
Good, very good book. Absolutely.
I'm just enjoying it, even though it is what it is, but I enjoyed the shit out of it. So I'm going to give it a big thumbs up there. I enjoyed X-Men 500. I just read that this week. I enjoyed it. And I was reading a ton of stuff that I was liking. I read a couple of things I absolutely hated to the point where I wanted to announce them, but it's so in bad taste for me to do so that I'll pass on it. but there was something I read that I really wanted to like. I went, oh, that was horrible. So.
Oh, and I wanted to throw a couple independent guys in there because I've interviewed them recently. I'd say everyone I've interviewed since Chuck Dixon.
Shiga.
what is Shiga?
Book Hunter by, is it James Shiga? I think it's James Shiga. He did Fleeb years ago and got my attention because he did maybe the greatest Eisner acceptance speech I've ever or will ever see. The speech was so funny, I actually went and bought his book. Like, I was like, this book's got to be hilarious. And I bought another book by him without realizing it was the same guy. I was reading it. I said, wow, I like this. And I looked at the back cover. And go, oh, my God, it's Shiga.
That's cool.
So, James Shiga, Book Hunter.
And Hickman, Remender, and B. Clay Moore.
Hickman, yes.
You know?
I feel at this point that, like, now my Hickman recommendations sound self-serving. But my Hickman recommendations are seriously through the roof.
Pax Romana. I'm serious. That's just a
great. Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Holy shit.
Absolutely.
So, there you go, my man. There's
totally
several
agree.
Books for you.
I'm going to walk over. I'm walking over to the thing. I'm enjoying the silly Red Hulk.
I am too. Loeb has been great.
Yes, and let's see. We'll look.
McKeever on Titans, I've been enjoying that. I'm just throwing another one out there.
I am behind on that. So
okay.
I cannot fully commit. Oh, the Howard Chaykin American Flag volume was so great.
Yeah.
What a great job they did. It was certainly worth the wait.
Yep.
So high recommendation for that. Excuse me.
War Heroes, Millar, unbelievable.
I haven't read it yet, but I have it.
Okay, but I'm just telling
you. You can't compliment him too much, right? Dude, things get weird in the relationship. One a year is about all he can handle for you. Just
okay.
Possible.
I understand.
Yeah. All right.
Are we moving on?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, I got Kitty Pryde, ladies and gentlemen.
I would probably be having read more comics if I don't spend every single moment of my time reading Mojo magazine and Uncut magazine. Because I'm such a British music nerd.
I got Kitty Pryde in my pants. let's see. Hey, I've never participated in one of these before, but I'm a Big Bendis fan and Word Balloon fan.
Who's talking? Oh, yeah, I got Kitty Pryde.
In my pants, yes.
In my pants. I thought you were just yelling shit out.
No, it's just, you know, that's my Tourette's coming out again. The script in the back of the director's cuts of Secret Invasion number one was fascinating. I knew that they released a Civil War script book, and you released them for projects before, so any chance you'll be doing one for Secret Invasion?
I wouldn't be against doing it if they wanted to. I'm not sure how the Civil War one did. I'm not sure exactly how well those things do, but I love putting them out because I would buy them.
Yeah.
As I said before, I buy script books, so I would like to do that. But so I don't know, maybe. I certainly got enough scripts for this motherfucker.
I think we just covered this, although maybe you didn't see any DC books. So what is your
DC
favorite book DC
book
at
the moment? DC book at the moment, probably Batman RIP.
Really? Interesting.
Even though they fucking told you they tipped their hat too early.
And if you had to choose, who do you prefer, Geoff Johns or Grant Morrison?
I thank God I don't have to choose, because then I wouldn't be hurting Grant Morrison's feelings.
There you go. And we've discussed.
No, I like Geoff as a person so much that, and I don't know Grant at all.
I
met him once briefly, and
I met him in New York. He was incredibly charming.
So
he really was. Yeah, and Jeff, but don't get me wrong, I love Geoff Johns as well. So
Geoff's a great guy.
What are your thoughts on the Spirit movie thus far?
Well, you know, we haven't seen the movie yet. I obviously will go see the movie regardless. I mean, even if it gets the worst reviews of the history of the world, I will see the movie. But the trailer scared me.
Oh, yeah.
And the movie's in color? I'm confused.
If you had to give it up today, who would you pick to follow you on the Avengers title if given the chance you were able to pick your own replacement?
Thankfully, Geoff Johns, really.
That, you know, he had a great run on the Avengers, and I'd be very interested to see him back on the Avengers.
I think he said publicly, I don't think the run was satisfactory to him. I don't think he enjoyed it as much as he wanted to. I bet he would take another shot at it.
Sure, sure. Any chance we'll see a collaborative Word Balloon in the future with you and Maliv, or David Mack, or John Hickman, or any of your other cohorts, a.k.a. the recent Brubaker Fraction interview?
Well, I would do that. I would do that for all those guys.
Excellent.
Alex wouldn't be the one. He would not want to do it.
Yeah, he's turned me down, and in a very happy, polite way, and saying
no
offense.
He just doesn't
want
to do it.
Exactly.
And him at the panels was hilarious in Chicago. People saw this, and I know some of the people listening did get to see this. Once he feels He doesn't want to be there anymore. He just gets up and leaves. He literally goes, does anyone in this room have a question for me? Because I would like to not be here. And then runs out of the room. Or he
did
does
he do
a
that
very,
in the did he do that
no,
in the
he
Daredevil
does thing I love where he says something that gets a huge positive reaction, and then he'll just leave on the note. And there's still 40 minutes left to go. He'll just take off. it makes me laugh every time he does it.
Nice. All right, let's see. Nick Maynard, 85. Let's say a project is so unbelievably amazing it's offered to you that you have to take it, but this means dropping one of your current books. Which would you drop?
What do I have to, any chance? What am I doing?
If some amazing project came up and you had, and it meant you had to drop one of your current books.
Like a comic project or other. Well, that's the reason I've attempted to stay ahead of the game so much. Like a perfect example is, all of these things that I'm going to do right now, like the Powers pilot and other stuff that I'm working on, I have 7 months of Ultimate Spider-Man in the can.
That's great.
And I don't have to drop anything.
Okay.
And I'll be done. You know, so I haven't ever had to make that hard choice. And that's the life I've chosen to live for myself, so I don't have to do that.
What's up with your Mark Silvestri miniseries?
Yeah, Rich made some reference to some miniseries that never happened. There was never a miniseries project. I mean, for the life of me, I can't even think of what they're talking about, other than the fact that we did announce we were going to work together, and instead of whatever project we were going to do, we ended up doing that special that we did, the initiative special.
Okay.
But there wasn't, like, anything that was being worked on that fell apart or anything. So, you know, just to kind of, things kind of... You know, it's funny, things just kind of go a certain way where you're like, oh, okay, that's how, you know, like, I thought I was going to go work with Feng Cho on something, and now he's working on other, you know what I mean? There's just
uh-huh.
pieces come and go, and you just grab on it, whatever you can get a hold of. So, there wasn't any miniseries.
Will we see the Beyonder again?
I would do a miniseries. I actually enjoy Mark as
cool.
a person.
Will we see the Beyonder again?
Yes.
Why create Alias for Marvel instead of as a creator-owned book?
In this instance, I thought about this a great deal, actually. In this instance, I thought the idea of what I wanted to do, it absolutely could have been told as a creator-owned book. But in this instance, and with the ability to do it, I thought that doing it within the confines of the Marvel lore, like actually being taken place in the Marvel Universe,
uh-huh.
was much more effective. I just thought that I wanted to tell a story about a B-list Marvel character and what it's like to be a B-list Marvel character, and that I totally could have made up like a whole fake Marvel Universe or DC Universe or
sure.
any kind of superhero mythology and gone to town. But in this instance, the fact that Spider-Man was swinging overhead, that's never been done before, and I thought that's really something.
Yeah, my favorite.
And the opportunity came, and the deal with my deal on Jessica Jones is that, you know, it's not, I don't own it, but I've certain connections to it legally that are appealing.
Okay.
So it's not just I didn't just throw her out there.
No, I understand, and I think you're right. I think there was a lot of power to the help. My favorite arc with Captain America. When she's surveilling, and all of a sudden he's on the rooftop, and suddenly she realizes it's Captain America.
Yeah, and if that was like Mr. America, or, you know,
sure.
it wouldn't have the same ba-boom.
No, absolutely. Especially Cap. You know, it's like, what are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, there's a couple books out there that I know are failed pitches, you know?
Okay.
And that's not no diss to the person. They just said, fuck it, I'm going to do it anyhow. And every time I read it, I go, oh, that would have been so much better if it was the DC book it was supposed to be.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, so. I do. So they've...
And if I have a pitch that didn't go anywhere or whatever, I wouldn't... I would try to find a new angle on it before I... if to turn it... I wouldn't just keep it the way it is and change the name. You know
I
what
see.
I mean?
Yes, I do. I'd like to hear what you think about Jeff Loeb's Hulk run so far. I realize it sells well, and in the end, that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
But there's been some criticism of the book, too, and I was wondering what you thought of it.
I said before, and I'm not kissing Jeff's ass. I have no reason to, and I've made it very clear when me and Jeff aren't seeing eye to eye and certain stuff. And his Hulk run, I think is it's near brilliant in its simplicity. I know that man to be a very, very intelligent man, and he's writing it that way very clearly because that's how he thinks a Hulk book should be written. And I think it's hilarious and entertaining.
Yeah, I think it's a fun book.
Yeah, he says the Hulk should just be beating the shit out of everything and
Hulk
it's
smash.
Nonstop, and it never slows down, and it's hilarious.
Are there any ideas in Secret Invasion?
And I got to say, I read it going, I would never in a million years do this. I would never in a million years do this book, and I think that's why I'm enjoying it so much.
Are there any ideas in Secret Invasion that you didn't come up with? What was suggested at the retreats by other writers? What did your editors come up with? What did Lanil add?
A lot of people threw stuff into the pot.
Okay.
The most important one is there was one, and this is before I had gone to script, that there was one part of the story that like Axel Alonso had pulled me aside and said, take this farther. Like he pointed out like a very important note to me, and a note that I take very seriously, that if you're going to have a smart villain, they have to be smart all the way through. They can't be smart up until the third act because you need to end the story. And he had pointed out an area that he thought I'd accidentally done that, and I was very grateful to it because I think I kind of revamped the whole story, making the Skrulls the smartest people
cool.
in the story. And that was a very important note that changed the, like, in tiny places and big places, just, that was an excellent note. So as I went to the scripts of the first issues, that went in. For more information on what it's like handing in something that's that massive to an editor, go read, Tom Brever just posted a edited version of his response to my first draft.
Okay.
That was thoughtful and, you know, it shows you that the warts and all, if you're really interested in the warts and all thing,
mm-hmm.
it's right there. So you can go read that, read Tom's response. But Joe had tons of notes, and Joe's notes were great because Joe, as I said before, not the audience for this kind of material. So getting him excited was exciting. Jeff Loeb had stuff. He was there for every step of the way. But I very helpful. I just can't, off the top of my head, remember what he said. Frank Cho had added some stuff. Lanil's, because you asked about Lanil specifically,
Lanil's
contributions are almost all visual, but they're very important visual contributions. I'm not saying that in any way other than completely sincere. He had figured out a way to tell the story, and a very, very chaotic story, a lot of elements on the page. In some ways very subtle, but very sincerely, well placed storytelling elements all throughout the story. That without him, I don't know how the story would have read.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we're recording. Okay. Right. And we were halfway through.
All right. So while I'm looking out on my TV now, as Mr. Suchus was saving the digital thingy,
the file, yeah.
I look up on my plasma here, and there's the best of Amy Lynn Baxter on Cinemax, and
it's
all
Cinemax.
In slow motion. I'm not sure what she's doing. She's just walking around naked, or she's not naked. She's on a jet ski, and I'm not sure what this is.
Well, I have to admit, every time
paint a picture.
Every time I saw her on Stern, I got a thing for her, and I think I have seen that film.
Yeah,
that fine slow motion film.
I think you own it.
I don't own it. I do own Poison Ivy 3. I will cop to
that. Is that the one with?
From My Name Is Earl. What's her name?
Yeah, is that the one with you got slapped the yarmulke?
with Jamie Presley.
Yeah, do you know that's what she said on Howard Stern?
No, what did she say?
She was on a couple years ago before Earl was on the air.
Right,
or
okay.
She might have been promoting Earl. She came on, and she was having a relatively good appearance.
Okay.
And then Howard, and she was getting more and more relaxed, and then Howard brought up her. She's had, like, one gorgeous boyfriend after the next, and he goes, yeah, my boyfriend is so gorgeous. And he goes, I was supposed to be gorgeous. What happened to me? And she goes, well, you got slapped the yarmulke. And it was such a unbelievably anti-Semitic comment. The level of which I've never even heard that, and neither had Howard or Artie or anybody had never heard that level of anti-Semitism before. That was like a hidden anti-Semitic thing.
Yeah.
And then she had to go, no, I know Jews. My race is Jew. Like, she was like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Some of my best friends, of course. Yeah, sure.
And it was hilarious.
That's awesome.
And so every time I see her, I can't even watch her in anything because I just know she gets...
Yeah, she's Ilsa the She-Wolf now, yeah.
I got slapped a yarmulke.
God. Wow. Well,
unbelievable bit of dialogue from her.
Well, I got slapped a yarmulke. Oh, well. Yikes. I had no idea.
It was, you got slapped a yarmulke, then the most cackly, evil laugh you'd ever heard.
like her Earl character. Yeah. Ew. Well, that's very
creepy.
You can
creepy. Find it on YouTube and stuff. You guys are here.
I totally want to see that now. That's that's really sad. Okay, now back to the Secret Invasion stuff. This book is the best art of Lynell Yu's career.
I agree.
And he should always work with Morales and Martin. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
During another Bendis tapes, I asked you what.
No,
you
but you know what? I not totally agree. I actually think that I like the Dave McCraig pencils only. I won't say experiment, but the you know not usual way of doing it.
Okay.
And Craig, it's a very ballsy color choices, and I was very very proud of them because and you know 9 out of 10 times it was not what I was thinking at all. But they would read it, and same thing he was doing in the next wave, and just go, wow, what a ballsy choice, right? And so I like that, too. And I also liked that the book was selling so well, and the choices were so ballsy. So.
During a previous Bendis tapes, he asked what you thought of Spider-Man 3. You answered, you'll find that out soon. Do you remember what you were referring to?
Well, I was referring to the fact that I had written that comic book... the criticism of the thing had a lot to do with some Venom plot holes, and they had called me and said, do you want to fix all the Venom plot holes in this comic book? And I went, yes, I do. And so I got to do that, and it was a very appealing thing to watch a movie, and parts of which I enjoyed immensely, but there was parts missing from the Venom. I wasn't sure if they got edited out or what, I wasn't sure, but I felt there were parts missing. And it was fun to write my version of what I thought was missing. I put it into that comic book and sell it with the DVD. It was cool.
Very cool.
So, but I will say, I'm a huge Sam Raimi fan, huge, and he's been nothing but nice to me. All the years he's been on Spider-Man, he's been unbelievably gracious to me. What was going on with that jazz scene... jazz club scene?
Yeah.
I've watched it like 40 times trying to figure it out. Like, what's going on? It was the only moment in all the movies you go, what? You know. Because even the scene of him going into her club and being a douchebag, all that's fine.
Sure, sure.
But it's the dance move.
No.
It was evil jazz hands.
It was
he did Evil Jazz Hands.
That's a good title for a Sam Raimi movie, Evil Jazz Hands.
Yeah, Evil Jazz Hands, by the way, starring
Bruce Campbell.
Campbell.
Yeah. And that Ted Raimi, of course.
And Ted Raimi and Bridget Fonda.
Why don't these giant crossovers ever involve the Avengers and the X-Men? Considering how friendly you seem to be with Brubaker and Fraction...
House of M. What? Sorry?
It seems like it would have been pretty easy to coordinate the stories.
Yeah, Civil War, House of M, Secret Invasion.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, I seem to have seen plenty of X-Men in the story.
I remember House of M was billed as an Avengers X-Men crossover. So
very
true. I'd have to. No, I absolutely, and not only that, but obviously me and Matt are sharing Iron Man in a couple places. And, there's plenty of grist for the mill there for the crossover. But right now the Avengers are in a, and then the Avengers, the X-Men, well, the Avengers too, but... The X-Men are in a real setting up a new shop kind of place.
Right, right.
So I'd assume let them get settled and people will figure out what the new rules of the X-Men universe are, and then we do the crossover. And also the Avengers can be completely different after Secret Invasion, which is just a couple of months away. So I think both of us are going to have to kind of reestablish the mojo before we jump into another crossover.
And now we go to Poland for Krov and some questions. He says, fan from Poland here. I love your stuff, even though it's hard to get here. Amazon must love your Polish fans. And, John, great interview, sir. It's thanks to you that I like Jeff Loeb, even though he doesn't like his comic books. Dear Signori, Mr. Pani Bendis.
There's a Polish joke here somewhere about Jeff Loeb, but I just can't find it.
How many ahead. Jeff Loebs does it take to screw in a Red Hulk?
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum. You once said that there would be a reference to Jessica Jones' high school crush on Peter Parker in New Avengers after a cost disaster cough called One More Day. Is it still
not
possible?
Not a disaster.
I hope that makes it through the Word Balloon Polish translation. You've mentioned somewhere that you like Polish filmmakers. Christoph...
This guy's, I like Polish hot dogs, too. This guy's very... he's got a lot of pride.
Well, yeah, that's good. Krzysztof Kieslowski and Roman Polanski. Being Polish myself, I'm curious if they're working...
How many Polanskis does it take to...
screw in, what's her face?
Screw in
Natasha Kinski. One.
Exactly.
Let's see. Have their work influenced you in any way? Kieslowski and...
Have you mentioned for the Polish filmmakers, Wilmer and Polanski being Polish? I'm curious. Oh, no, they're both of them have influenced me tremendously. I've discussed them both at length in... in interviews and stuff, but Krzysztofowski, whose scripts I've read, you talk about someone whose scripts I've read over and over and over again. There's a book, a Decalogue book.
That's right. Okay, he did do Decalogue. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
And
clearly.
It's in book form, too, that I really recommend if you're a fan. And even though watching the HBO documentary on Roman Polanski was haunting and makes you want to throw your copy of Chinatown right in the garbage, really disgusting. Rosemary's Baby in particular is filled with shots that everybody steals from all the time.
What is the most obscure character in the Marvel Universe you'd like to make more realistic, let's say in a Max miniseries, and with whom would you like to do it?
Dan Slott, and I'd like to do it with Keith Giffen.
You'd like to do it with Keith Giffen?
Oh, there's a T-shirt. Oh, what's that weird thread on my board where people put like weirdly spelled shit on pictures of me? I don't even understand it.
I don't know.
Okay, well, I just revert that thread.
I just stick with sci-fi and TV and films and us. That's pretty much it.
All right, you just Google your name and see what comes up.
Yeah, pretty. I do. I'll admit to that conceit. Absolutely. Oh, I wonder who's talking about Word Balloon today. Oh, nice. The Freaky Tiki. Thank you. All right. Nice. Is there any character?
No, I do different. I type it in and go, who hates me today?
Is there any character you'd like
what
to...
What I do now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I hang at your message board and don't have my own message board. Is there any character...
Would you like your own message board on our message board?
That's
Would
a fair...
Would you like your own Jinx World board?
You're a good man. I should consider that. That might be a
good... Yeah, you can do that.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
$9.99 a month. No, I'm joking. It's
we'll talk to Ben Simpson. No, thank you, buddy. That's very kind.
All you need is the Amazon links killing every fucking thread. No, we got rid of those.
Good. Honestly, thank you, because that really drove that was driving me nuts.
You want a board?
You
got a board.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying the Amazon thing, thank you. But, yes, that would be nice.
No, you know what? My brother Dan, God bless him. People think I'm up to shenanigans.
Okay.
Dan was looking into different ways to have the board pay for itself.
Sure.
And other habits he might have. And
nice.
And he was trying stuff out, and I agreed to one banner here, one banner there is fine, and then the Amazon links, which for some reason weren't coming up on my version of the board. Like, I never saw them, so they weren't bothering me. Brian Reed was ready to kill himself. They bothered him so much. So Brian was, I don't know, he was having a nervous breakdown about them. So, but yeah, as soon as I found them, I got rid of them.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice though. Thank you for the offer, and I will seriously consider it and probably end up doing it.
Yay.
Are there any characters?
I can tell that's a huge relief to everyone in comics.
Yeah. Thanks. Yes, my ten fans will be thrilled. Is there any character you'd like to work on as? Is there any character you would like to work on as a comic book? I'm talking about a character from any medium other than comics, like film, books, or games.
Ooh, like James Bond and shit? Hell
yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
Buckaroo Banzai and Amy Lynn Baxter. Look at her. She's all like slow motion on a jet ski there.
Do you have leftover Flaxum stories that you'd like to apply
to
Amy Lynn Baxter?
Yeah, I just re-released Flaxum. It was Amy Lynn Flaxum. We'll just call it that.
Who was that real woman that supposedly
Susie Owens.
Okay.
Very nice lady who took off her top in front of us for no reason.
Excellent.
So, very nice lady. Yeah, it was very funny.
Was she in Playboy or Penthouse? I remember that.
She was a Playboy playmate.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, years ago, David Mack and I got suckered in to do the Flaxum tie-in comic. Flaxum was the mascot of Golden Apple. And on who, good Lord, who knows what that means? And there was a comic book that Steve Rude was involved in, a Dark Horse, and then Caliber did one years later. And we were told it was going to be on like the Joan Rivers show, and to show you how old this is, long ago this was, and all this press it was going to get. And
Brian,
we just,
big two words, Joan Rivers will be Joan holding
Rivers.
Your comic book.
And I said, where do I sign? So, and actually, James Hudnall wrote it, who I was a big fan of.
Love James Hudnall, absolutely.
And Sinking and some really before their time graphic novels. So I was very excited to do it and suckered my friend David Mack into inking me. And so I'll never forget. So we met her in Chicago and sat down and heard her whole story and said, hey, actually, I want to do some photo reference of you for the story, if that's okay. And she goes, great. And we went literally to the back of the dumpsters of Chicago Con.
Yes.
And said, you know what, let me do it without my top. I think it'll be easier. And David was taking pictures and looked at me like, all right.
Who says no to that, exactly?
Okay. And so, yeah.
We're all professionals here.
Yeah, so that was fun.
That's awesome.
So, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible comic book with a very nice cover by Ken Meyer Jr., but it's a very bad comic book that makes no sense, and I'm embarrassed I did it.
Well, I sadly I remember it from the
but
Playboy
I got
issue.
To see boobies.
Nice. So it all evens out. I remember that you were in love with The Shield, and I'm curious if you still watch it.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait. And I heard I might be getting the new season early.
Oh, really? There you go. There's a nice perk.
Yeah. Yes.
I've heard rumors about the Powers TV show. True. Can you elaborate on that? Is this the project which involves HBO?
No, the HBO project is different. The HBO project is a blackjack project, similar to the movie 21, but not stupid.
Oh, there you go.
And,
good for you.
No, I mean, there's such a great story there, and this is based on the true lives of two of the actual blackjack players. And we're doing like a modern day version of their story.
Okay.
And watching 21 made my ball switch places because the story is so fascinating, and then they're just making shit up, and you know what I mean.
Did you read the book?
I read both books, and
because I hear the book is excellent.
Made up stuff, and it just filled with made up stuff.
Okay.
And it's just because he didn't. I'm just not sure why. But I'm not going to get in a the guy gets in a fuse. I'm not going to get in a fuse with the guy. But so we're working on that. And so the Powers TV show is completely a separate entity.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you want to elaborate anywhere in terms of where Powers? Is right
I'm
now?
Writing. There's a director. There's going to be an announcement shortly. Had a big meeting on since last we talked.
Yes.
Had a meeting with the production house, and told them the pilot, and it was all approved. So we're off to our network meeting on Wednesday.
That's great, man.
So,
very cool.
Yeah, and it's all puppets.
Even better.
Yeah.
One moment. Since there are so many reboots, do you think that Daredevil will get a reboot? We were just discussing that.
That would be cool. I don't know if there ever will be. I don't know what the legalities are, and I'm not hinting or talking. And again, that's one of those things because I'm a Marvel employee. People think I'm in the know, or I don't know anything about it. I just if I had my dithers, and I love my dithers,
yes.
My dithers would be that. That's the one I went. Oh, I would love to take a shot at that.
Do you think it's realistic that if Marvel did get it back, they would make it an R-rated film?
I don't know. I know there's all kinds of like mathematical equations about why some things are R and why some things are 2 hours, and they really got it down to a science where they pretend they know something.
I wonder if Dark Knight is going to change that equation, though. You know what I mean? That was all pre-Dark
Dark
Knight.
Does the opposite of all those things and makes $100 billion.
Yeah.
Has
Marvel ever offered you to draw a comic book? If not,
no. They don't like my art.
Would you
that
like...
That isn't shtick.
If you had the time, would you... What would you... Yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah. Danny.
Joking on my own self-loathing.
It's my Ted Knight. Yes, would you... draw something for Marvel,
and
what would it be?
I'm going to do here. I'm going to prove a point.
Okay.
I'm going to offer to draw a alternative cover to the Spider-Woman launch.
Okay.
And I guarantee you they say no.
Okay.
Not interested. Even though you think maybe on some level that would be appealing.
And now here
author of the book.
He makes a plea. If there's any chance, will you create or ultimize some cool character who's Polish that might stick around? We are really underrepresented in Marvel's universe.
This is true.
There's got to be some. Isn't there somebody for the initiative, like protecting Poland? They're not a state, but you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold on.
You getting a call?
No, I got a rustling little one here.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
No problem.
And gone. Oh, wait.
Is that the low one?
Yeah. Talking to the sleeve. I think we're okay. I've been talking too much. All right.
No problem. Dr. Blasphemy. Since I never heard the answers to my last question, since they were lost, when part two disappeared, yeah, exactly, last time, I'm afraid to ask any questions, fearful I will end up with a broken heart again. But here goes. Do you think that comic books have become too expensive for the casual fan anymore? With gas sell everything so expensive these days, and comic books ranging from $3 to $5 a shot, it makes it hard to keep up with monthlies.
Yes. No, I don't think so. I see your point. I certainly hear about it. But the argument is that in times of recession, people crave their entertainment more and more and more. So the movies do better. TV ratings go up, that people are eager for an escape. So don't worry about it in that sense so much, other than the fact that I am filled with guilt about how much my comics cost and trying to make sure that they're worth the money that people are spending on them. That's a big, big, big deal to me, but it has nothing to do with recession and stuff like that. But you got to remember, man, yeah, comics, $3. Coffee's like $6. Everything's expensive, man.
What coffee is $6?
You go somewhere, the coffee's $6. I don't know, I went to Starbucks, my wife ordered something.
What are you, John McCain? Where the fuck is your $6 coffee? What kind of coffee, really? Did they give you Kruger Rants with that coffee?
Money. A movie's $84, and things cost a lot of money.
how many homes do you own? Did you hear that?
18 homes.
Did you hear that with McCain this week?
Yeah.
I love that. You know something?
He's going to be our next president, too.
Do you now, and I'm going to ask, here's my only journalistic question I'm going to ask you, Brian. I am hearing that come December, 20 Marvel titles are going to go up to $3.99.
That is news to me, I promise you, on my dog.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not in that loop.
Okay.
But again, people put shit out and for weird reasons.
No, and I understand that, but this is I respect this source.
I'm not saying that's true or not true. I absolutely do not know.
Okay. True. I will take you at that word.
What was it that 20
20 titles? Marvel titles will be going to $3.99.
Oh.
That's the you see, and that's the sound that I made too. And I was like, really?
Because
you know, honestly, and this is nothing because it looked really cool. But as an individual example, the Battling Jack Murdoch miniseries, had it been $2.99, I would have given it a chance. I understand that maybe it was priced higher because there's maybe a less of an expectation of an audience. But that almost, as a reader, I could see that having an opposite effect as well and saying, you know, let me hear how it is. Maybe I'll buy the trade if they make a trade. But $4 a copy, I don't know if I want to read it at $4 a copy. Secret Invasion, Final Crisis, those are $3.99 books. Jeff's Legion of Superheroes book that's out right now. Those are events that I am interested in. Recognizable characters, you know.
You're on a roll. I mean, that's late.
Oh, no problem.
I'm getting a fussy.
Oh, no worries. I roll with anything.
You
man.
Might have to finish this another time. She's staring right at me. Oh, gotta go. Talk buddy. To you later, brother. Let's try tomorrow night.
Okay, bud.
All right, bye.
Take it easy. How about that? Just as things were getting dramatic, Bendis cues for the baby to cry to cut me off just as I'm on my soapbox. I'm teasing, of course. That's okay. So Brian had to stop right there to be a dad. No problem. We had to wait a few more days, and we got right back to the snack. You won't have to wait a few days, though. Coming tomorrow, our part three of this conversation. The Bendis Tapes continues here at Newsarama and, of course, at Word Balloon. So until then, thanks a lot for listening. This is John Suntress reminding you that you can find Word Balloon all over the Internet. Our own website, wordballoon.com, where you can also find over 100 other creator interviews. Of course, newsarama.com at iTunes. Our MySpace page, myspace.com/wordballoon. comicspace.com/wordballoon as well. And, of course, Podcast Alley, Odeo, Podcast Pickle, all the various podcatching sites. If you'd like to write a review of our show, submit it to Podcast Alley or iTunes. We certainly would appreciate it. And any questions or comments about the show, you can reach me via email, john@wordballoon.com. Until next time, part three, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2008.